Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
What's good, everybody? Thank you all for tuning in to Man to Man, the best NBA show where we bring you the latest topics around the NBA. You can find us on all streaming platforms as well as on the Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. This is your co-host, Andy Elliott.
Alongside your co-host, Liam, the Hoop Star, Nash.
Talk to me, Hoop. Tell us something that the people don't know about you this week. What'd you do?
Nothing. This week was filled
absolutely
with,
nothing.
Probably absolutely nothing. This is one of those weeks that I've had not much on the plate. I've been doing some gambling. Not great
gambling. We know that, right?
Yeah, not great gambling. But other than that, man, it's just been I'm just catching up on a lot of things. What about yourself? You're back from California, I see.
Yeah. Still jet lagged a little bit. Not falling asleep till about 3:30 a.m. in the morning, so it's feeling a little weird over here, kind of trying to get back to adjusting to my normal schedule that I was on. Glad to be back in Nashville. It's feeling cold out. It's like, you know, I need seasons. You know, out there you don't have seasons. I get it, it's cool, you like it. A lot of people from California are moving to Nashville and the South because, hey, we like seasons, we want seasons. It's getting nice out. It's Halloween time. Speaking of Halloween, we got our merch coming out in the next couple of weeks, probably the week right before Halloween hits. We got Halloween sweatshirts, the Man to Man, the NBA show. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be super cool. We might tie-dye like half of the sweatshirts. I don't know yet, but we were going to do t-shirts. People were saying, no, it's cold. We want to sit out in the bonfire with sweatshirts on. Okay, we got you. Hey, little recap of last week, Hoop, before... set up. Liam and I talked about the finals predictions and what both teams need to do in order to, I don't know, take the Louis Vuitton Larry home with them, I guess. Listen, go check it out wherever you get your podcast. Like, subscribe to our YouTube page, and most importantly, Hoop,
share with your mothers, right? Share with your moms. Is that what you're going to say?
Share with your moms, man. We've only had a couple moms hit us up on the DMs. They're saying, hey, my son's listening to you. You guys are explicit. You know, he's listening out there. I don't care. As long as you're listening, get in the game, mother. Madre, you're listening. Show everybody on Zoom if you're rocking with us during, you know, your son's classes and all that. Listen to Man. Give us a shout out. We love you. And we also thank you. But, hey, this week, Hoop, it's on the agenda, baby. Joe Rogan style again, my guy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We had the chance to interview Miami Heat rim protector Kyle Alexander, what his experience has been like as a rookie in this unique situation called a bubble in Orlando, let alone what his experience has been like being in the NBA Finals. But before that, we want to shout out our good friends over at Yaz Apparel. We got to do it to them. Yaz, what's good, my guy? The hottest streetwear available on the market. They got the most exclusive, fresh, trendy items, including different color set hoodies. You're rocking with the t-shirts. You're rocking with the hoodies. It's going to fit perfectly in your everyday attire. NBA players like, I don't know, what's his name? Jackson Hayes plays Alonzo Ball. He's a fucking stud in the wall. He's got one. Hey, every item sold, they donate clothing to the homeless. It's a win-win. You look good. You do it for a good cause. Plus, what's at the checkout? 50% off, my guy. So go get your hoodies. Go get your sweatshirts. That's YazApparel.club. We'll throw the link in the description, my guy. All right, so with no time wasted, we had the honor to sit down with Miami Heat Kyle Alexander on Man to Man, the best NBA show where we bring you the latest topics around the NBA. Kyle, thank you for taking the time. What's going on, my brother?
How you doing, man? Not much. How you doing?
Hey, we're better now. Kyle, you probably have no idea, but we graduated in the same class at Tennessee last year. Can I get a go Vols?
Go Vols, man. VFL. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we're both from Tennessee. Got the dub today. We look good in football, right? Eric Gray, next Kamara, maybe?
Man, I wasn't watching. I'm sorry. We had a lot of stuff that we were
I know
doing.
You weren't. I know you weren't, but we're balling. Yeah. Obviously, like college ball, obviously you guys had a hell of a run with Barnes along with J-Bone, Schofield, Grant, and everyone else involved in that organization. For the people that may not know you, you're currently in the bubble going up against LeBron and company for the NBA Finals. I guess the people got to know, dude, what's on the pregame playlist? What you listening to, Kyle? What you got?
You know, I'm from Toronto, so it's always a lot of that Drake. Got that Drake on. Yeah, you know, that's what's going on a lot in like the pre-warm-up on the court. They got a lot of Drake going. They got a lot of Lil Baby, a lot of that stuff. So I kind of just listen to whatever they got playing.
So you got your own play. Are they letting you play the ox in the locker room? I know, you know, the rookie and all that.
They're not letting you get on the ox? Nah, the vets have that one, man.
What about Jimmy Buckets and the country music? I know you were in Tennessee for 4 years at least. I mean, you got a little bit of country behind you, no? Jimmy playing any of that?
You spend 4 years in Tennessee, you're gonna start to appreciate some country music. I don't have a problem with country music, and yeah, he does play a lot of it, and I like it too. He doesn't know this, but he actually put me on. He's been listening to a lot of Florida Georgia Line.
He did not. You are not listening to Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, man. So I like that. I kind of like their vibe. I'm digging it.
Okay. So we got the Drake. When's the album coming out? I'm bumping the what is it? Love Now Cry. I can't remember it ever, dude. You bumping that?
When's the new album? Now coming? Cry Later.
That one?
I mean, it's but this is the thing with Drake. He's so loved and appreciated worldwide that the second he drops anything, it's like immediately mainstream. You're gonna hear it 10 times a day, no matter where you go. But, you know,
no matter what.
So you're gonna.
That one slaps. Yeah. So the rest of the album should be a good one. So cool deal. Cool. We got the playlist. The Toronto boy got some Drake. Okay, we with you, Kyle.
I guess I'll start by. I guess for us, we know. I mean, we did a little bit of our research. You kind of grew up more playing soccer and volleyball, and it wasn't until kind of later on. Basketball kind of took that over. I guess what was like made you switch into, and when did you know that you had that future or you could have a future in basketball? What was that transition like?
So my dad is the reason I switched over. I kind of stopped like my freshman year of high school. I kind of just like when I was about 14, I kind of just like stopped wanting to play soccer too. And I didn't play anything my whole freshman year. And my dad came to me. I was like 6'7". I love playing video games though. And it was like the summer and he had left, went to work, came home for lunch like 5 hours later. And I was still in my room playing video games. And he was like, nah, this isn't it. So
it ain't happening. And he said, it ain't happening. You got to get out and do something.
So exactly. So he came and apparently one of his friends had told him about this place called Bobby Allen Skills Academy. It's a place in Ontario. He just took me there. And the first day there, the dude was like, yeah, you have a lot. He's like, you're really raw, but you have potential. And so I was like, okay, I mean, this dude played professional basketball. He's telling me I have potential, you know, I'm sure he's not just, maybe just wants some more money, but who knows, you know? So I went in there and first day I couldn't do a left-hand layup. There's like 12-year-old kids in there. I'm 16, 12-year-old kids in there with more skill. It was embarrassing, man, so embarrassing. And so I remember I went home, pulled my sister's net out from the side of the house, put it in the driveway and just started practicing. And I remember just going through that and that being like my drive, you know, that was like the first thing where I was like, okay, like I have like a work ethic. So that kind of just started it. And then I got a scholarship to play prep school and then went there, played with Jamal Murray and Thon Maker and all them. And then I think what kind of just did it for me was I kind of always needed to take like time. Like I know my first years at Tennessee were rough, if you remember those.
Yeah.
They were rough years, but I think I spent a week with Grant Williams at his house. Mm-hmm. And we played every day. Every morning we went and played with pros. And I remember just, I was able to hang with them. Like I was playing with dudes who had already spent 2 years in the league and dudes that were vets. And I was actually hanging around and scoring and doing stuff. And I was like, okay, you know, I can do this. So that was one of the few moments.
Okay. So pretty much you couldn't hit the left-hand layup. A week later, you're absolutely dominating. And then the soccer and volleyball friends, you kind of just pushed them over to the side. Maybe I'll hang out with on the weekends or okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I just played soccer with just random people in Canada. So I didn't really have no like friends in that, but I just kind of pushed that to the side, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. So Kyle, you briefly touched up on playing with Jamal, another guy along with Andrew Wiggins from Toronto in the bubble. did you ever hang out with Jamal, or was there like another guy maybe on the Miami Heat that you kind of clicked with and that's your homie in the bubble, or who do you hang out with the most, I guess?
Yeah, so I never played with Andrew Wiggins. I just want to make sure I put that out there. But no, yeah, I did. I hung out with Jamal a lot. That's like my brother, man. Like he was my roommate that second year that I was at Orangeville Prep. You know, we've been through a lot together. So no, that's my guy. We definitely hung out here a lot. On my team, Chris Silva, which is actually funny because I went against him for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He played for South Carolina. We almost fought my freshman year. And like now he's like my dog. So him, Jamal, and then Grant and Admiral were both in the bubble too at the beginning.
And I actually
was playing Grant in the conference final. So yeah, I had a lot of my boys here. So I spent a lot of time with those guys. And then Gabe Vincent, who's also on a two-way here, I spent a lot of time with him. And, you know, those are kind of just the dudes I spent a lot of my time with here.
Are you trying the Big Face coffee yet, or is that overrated? I heard it's a little bit overpriced.
It is a little overpriced, you know, $20 a cup, no matter what size you get. I think that's pushing it a little bit, but no, I got one cup from him. I got a mocha. I've never drank coffee before I got to the bubble. So that was like my second cup I think I ever drank. So yeah, no, it was cool. I mean, I haven't really drank coffee since, but it was a nice little cup of coffee.
I mean, so let's talk about basketball. I mean, I know you suffered a knee injury kind of earlier this year. You were doing the rehab and everything else. How did you as a player kind of stay ready during this kind of shutdown and the quarantine? And then when did you actually get that go-ahead call from the Heat that you were going to get a chance to kind of travel with them into the bubble?
Yeah, so I got injured January 5th, actually. I know the exact date. It's my sister's birthday, too. That sucked. I was doing well, man, doing well. And then lucky enough to get signed with the Heat. And then, you know, during quarantine was rough, man, because, like, they closed down the facilities. And so at that point, I had actually gotten cleared 2 days before the hiatus hit. So, like, I did one workout. And then the next day, I was, like, so excited, man. I was, like, I'm back. Like, I'm ready to go. And then the next day, the league got shut down. So I was, like, wow. So then I got, like, so I was living in a hotel in Miami. And they kind of just kept us there the whole time, you know, and then they had kind of implemented and kind of put it out there that if we go to the bubble, that you guys will come, you know, me and Gabe is two ways they're going to bring us, you know, because Miami's really about development. And like, I've developed so much the players that have been here. It's been, I kind of knew, but quarantine was hard, man. It was hard because the NBA put out a memo saying, don't trip, don't train anywhere else.
Right.
And then we had a lot of people test positive. So then they shut down the gym a couple times and I had already been out for 4 months. It was rough, man. It was rough.
Did you stay in Miami? Did you go back to Canada?
So, you know, that's when all the, if you leave the country, you got to quarantine for 14 days type deal was happening. So they were like, we don't want you to leave, have to quarantine and then come back here after quarantine. That's like a month you're spending in a isolated. So they're like, it's probably better if you stay. And I was like, shoot, if you guys are asking me to stay, I'm staying. You know, you're not getting rid of me yet, I'm staying. So.
Yeah,
I stayed in Miami the whole time. And yeah, like I said, it was rough, man, because you couldn't really do anything. I had just gotten cleared. Like I said, my knee wasn't 100%. So I was wearing a brace. I was just going out every day running. Like I'd go out, run 2 miles. And then when we could go in the gym, I'd go in. We'd get our 45 minutes on the court, 45 minute lift, and then leave. And then that was it. And then like the next week, there were protests because there's a lot going on. Right. So then they would be like, okay, workouts are canceled. And then the next day, somebody caught COVID during the test. So it's like, okay, the workouts are canceled. So I was like, man, it's hard to get a rhythm.
Can't catch a break, man.
Yeah, it was hard, man. It was.
So many ups and downs. But, you know, at the end of it, what you're talking about, they invite you to the bubble. Yeah, like no question about it, not thinking about it. So let's talk about, so you get your debut in the bubble in this quote-unquote regular season against the Bucks. Kyle, I mean, what was that like? You know, you get... You know, you're ready to play again, and then you just jump into competitive basketball like that.
Yeah, so I'll say this. It was interesting because I went from being injured for 4 months and then coming, being cleared, and then being out for another 3 months. So I spent 7 months not playing basketball. So
golly.
To then come to the bubble and play with, you know, a finals-worthy team with two All-Stars, you know, it was interesting at first. You know, I definitely felt behind. I felt like I was a freshman in college again. I just fell behind. I wasn't in the shape I needed to be in, you know, and it was difficult, but I've honestly done so much, gotten so much better developing now. And that time I got against the Bucks was awesome, you know, just to be up there on the court, even though it was like the last 2 minutes of the game. I don't care, man. It's a blessing. You know, a lot of people can't even say that they played in an NBA game. So just to be able to be out there and then get my first rebound and then later on play against Indiana and get my first points.
I was going to say, Kyle, that's our diehard team, the Pacers, man. You play out.
I know you
Kyle in there, man.
Yeah. No, it was awesome, man. It was awesome. I mean, I feel like I'm, and what's crazy is I feel like I am like three times the player right now than I was when I played like a couple months ago. So, you know, it's awesome just the developing that I've done. And yeah, I mean, it's a blessing. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. I'm just so happy that they brought me here and they put so much time into me. Yeah. And I've been doing so much, you know, I've been working on myself so much in here and it's been paying off.
I mean, what was like the main thing that you did to keep kind of busy in the bubble? I mean, you mentioned that you hung out with Jamal and, you know, Schofield and all the kind of your boys, but what were you guys going on the boat? Are we fishing down there?
Yeah.
Are we playing some bags? Yeah. What was your like go to, you know?
So they
drinking a beer, maybe. We see JJ shotgunning, I don't know, or Myers Leonard, your boy on the scene, yeah. Shotgunning.
No,
you know,
I don't think anybody on this planet can beat that man in the soccer competition, honestly. Like, but no, you can go fishing here, you can go golfing, you know, they have all that stuff. I didn't do any of that, just because as a rookie, I just spent so much time. Like,
yeah,
I lift and I work out twice a day. Every day I'm in here, I lift 4 days straight, then I take a break, and then I go 4 days straight, then I take a break. So I literally am going like three times a day, every day.
Right.
After every game, I watch film and I send a review to the coaches. So like, just like my mind has been so in it right now that like I wasn't able to do all that. But my go-to when I was in here was we'd play cards, man. Like just spend some time with your boys. Like I was spent 4 years with Admiral. I've known Jamal for 7 years, I spent 3 years with him and then this year. So just to be able to spend that time and just unwind with them and chill. They taught me how to play spades. And then my teammates here from the Heat, Goran, Gabe, and Jimmy taught me how to play phase 10. I had never even heard of phase 10 before I came in here. So
phase 10, I've never. What about Catan? Weren't you guys playing Catan in college?
No. Grant was. I refused to play Catan.
I've never played it. I don't know what it is, but I always saw that on like the Vol Hoops thing. I'm like, what is that, dude?
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. It's some board game where you like trade like wheat, wood, and material. I refused to play it, man. I knew I'm too much of a low-key nerd. I would have gotten into it, and I didn't want to get into it. So I was like, y'all got it. But I was playing phase 10, and I learned how to play spades in here, too.
Phase 10. Have you heard of phase 10, Hoop?
I have not. I mean, I guess I'm going to have to look it up now.
Yeah, I guess we got to
look it up. Okay, so I guess I'm not the only one then. Sheesh.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it until I got here. It's like Uno on steroids. It's really fun.
I feel like I'd have some fun with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Action. Obviously, you know, you got a bunch of doubters. We're Pacers fans. We love when people doubt us out. We never get national exposure. F everybody else. Let's get it. I'm rocking with the Heat right now. You guys have the best postseason record leading up to the finals, going 12-3 since the 2016-2017 Warriors, who went 12-0. How has your team chemistry stayed so compact throughout the bubble? Like I said, with so many doubters counting you guys out.
Because just the group of guys that the coach, that like this organization recruits, they recruit a lot of just focused, good individuals who have chips on their shoulders because they've been overlooked, you know. Obviously we got the lottery picks on this team too, but, you know, everybody in here, I think we have like five guys on this team that were undrafted, and then like how many second rounders. You got three guys on here that went to like Division 2, Division 3 school. So it's like you just have a bunch of dudes that had to grind. I mean, I was on our number one ranked, we were number one in the country. I think I was the lowest ranked person on that team. Yeah. I think I was like 360. It's unbelievable. I was like 360 something in the nation. Like, it was terrible. So just a bunch of dudes who are just really like locked in individuals and take this stuff serious, you know, good heads on our shoulders. I think that we came in here and we had a mission and a goal, really good coaching staff that pushed us really hard.
I'll ask this then. What was it like? We know that you guys took care of the Bucks. What was that series like for you? And knowing that, I think everybody, not everybody, obviously, but a lot of people had the Bucks kind of making it to the finals. What was that mission and what was that kind of attitude going into that series when you guys ended up just pretty much taking control from?
I'd say cook them.
Yeah, you got cooked. That's one of our sayings here. You guys pretty much cooked them. So what was that kind of series like facing up?
It was awesome because just to watch the kind of game plan that goes into that and the thinking and the preparation, that's been the most fun part for me this whole time, is just learning the process that goes into not only just a basketball game, but the playoffs. Just the thinking that I didn't even understand takes place, like, and the schemes that you put in, and the, like all that's like the understanding of all the players and their move, all that stuff that goes into winning a championship I didn't even understand. So The whole process was incredible to be a part of, but it was awesome, man, to watch playoff basketball firsthand and to see how, what like the next level that players take it to when you get to this part. It's awesome.
I'll tell you what, Kyle, you just touched up on it a little bit, but you're filled with not only guys who have kind of been underrated their whole careers, but you're with a lot of veterans on that team. Jimmy, we all saw UD last night after in the middle of the third quarter, the timeout, Iguodala, Goran, other guys. Who would you say, and even you, man, I'll tell you what, I've seen you on the sidelines and you're like, you know, you're leaning up, like coaching, like on the sidelines. It seems like these guys are teaching you how to kind of be more of an NBA player in your first season here. But who would you say has been the guy that's given you the most guidance throughout this whole season?
Man, I can't just give that to one person because they've all been teaching so much. I'll say a couple guys. So Solomon Hill, who doesn't get enough credit, that man is so wise. Like every time he speaks, I learn something. And so for him, like he's just been pulling me to the side, talking to me. Like he sat me and Chris down one time and just spit us so much game and knowledge that like I had a whole different perspective on the NBA. Like it's crazy. Like he's just really wise and like people don't realize how smart he is. And he's hilarious too. So he's a really good, different type of a leader. And then the second person I want to say is Myers Leonard. He constantly pulls me aside, asks me what I see, and then I'll tell him what I see, and he tells me what he sees. And then I'm like, okay, so I saw kind of the same thing, but you were a little more detailed, you know? So, like, he's been really good, too, as a vet, taking care of me in that regards, on and off the court, and showing me what it means to be, like, a good teammate. And then last person, even though, like, everybody's done a great job, the last person I want to say is Udonis Haslem. He's, before every series, he's brought me and some other guys into his room and watched film with us, and that is crazy. Like to be able to watch film with a 17-year vet or a guy who's won 3 championships, to watch film with him and to sit down with him and have him like watch a player and tell me what he sees and all that. And you can't pay for that. Like that's priceless experience. So I definitely wanted to pinpoint those 3 guys, but all these guys in here have given me so much game. It's unbelievable.
All these guys are just pretty much taking you under your wing. I'll tell you what, we all saw UD last night, that energy, and they even asked LeBron about it after the game, and LeBron saying, there's one guy you want on your team to go to war with, it's Udonis Haslem.
That's a tough son of a gun right there, man.
He's a different breed. If you could summarize what Heat culture means in a couple of words for you, what is – because we all know Heat culture is here. What is Heat culture as a player?
I mean, there's a T-shirt that pretty much says it that they gave us. There's like a motto and it's like best condition, most professional, like least unselfish, like all this stuff that just we represent. And I would say that's what it is. It's just they just want to be the best at everything. They take everything seriously. Like this organization just does things like to a next level. Like I'm sure everybody's heard of the conditioning test we do like every year. Like they just do things differently and they don't care what anybody thinks. Like what Spo said in the media yesterday, they don't care. Yeah. Like they have their way of doing things and they've won 3 championships doing it. They're going to continue to do things their way. I love it. It's similar to what we did at Tennessee, you know, just a different type of culture.
That's what I was going to kind of ask Kyle, kind of piggyback off that question. But obviously, you know, Barnes and leading you guys to where you guys ultimately went. I mean, you go into a Heat organization. Does that almost make it easier to transition to?
100%. Because it's dudes who I know dudes in college who I used to tell stories about what we did at Tennessee. And they used to tell me we couldn't, like, I couldn't have went there. Like, no, I couldn't have played for Barnes and I couldn't have done that. And I'm like, yeah, I know not everybody can do that. And, you know, Tennessee and Miami has the same motto, like we're not for everybody. So going to Tennessee and having that culture definitely made it 10 times easier, like to transition. Cause I'm already used to all like being held accountable, all the little details and little things that matter. And at this level, honestly, like you have even a little bit more freedom because like they understand that you're a man. And you're like grown and all that stuff. Not that Tennessee didn't, but you know, Tennessee has to be a little more, it's college. So they got to be a little more, you know, tight about it. But you know, here it's like a little bit more freedom, but they take their stuff serious. And I love that.
Once again, you're listening to Man, the best NBA show. We're live with Kyle Alexander, the Miami Heat. Kyle, we know you're on a busy regiment. Got a couple left for you, if that's all right here. Yeah. If there's one thing that your team needs to do for this next game and for the rest of the series against this Lakers team, what is it?
I think everybody would agree. rebound and defend. You know, yeah. We've had a hard time with that. And I think that if we can really focus on those two things with the offensive power we have, that we put ourselves in a great position to win basketball games.
So that's what's been being preached in the locker room right now, just rebounding and defensively.
Among other things, but to keep it
simple. To keep it as simple. I mean, you're only on satellite radio here, Kyle. It's all right.
But yeah, to keep it simple and and straightforward. Yeah, rebound and defend would probably be top of our list.
Yeah, play harder, a lot of rebound. I'm loving all of it, man. Well, we got one last question for you, Kyle, and we ask everybody that we interview on here. Best NBA show out there, Inside the NBA, The Jump, or Man to Man?
I'm joking, man.
Is he going to say it? Is he going to say it?
You asked me what? For who?
Inside the NBA, The Jump, or Man to Man. That's our radio show. Oh, that's our name, by the way. Thank 100%. You. Kyle, come on. Go Vols, baby.
My bad. Go Vols, man.
No, you're good.
What are we really talking about right now?
Yeah, what are we talking about right now?
Yeah, come on.
No, you're good. All right, Kyle, thanks again for coming on, bro. We wish you much success going forward and look forward to see, you know, how the rest of the season plays out for you, man. We wish you a very good luck for the rest of the season.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, for sure.
VFL, baby. Go Vols.
Go Vols, baby. Man, what a guy, right? Kyle, it's always fun talking to a former Vol. It's incredible to see Kyle's growth, like he was saying. Cool stuff to hear about, you know, how he's, you know, started playing ball, starting at like junior year of high school, couldn't hit a left-hand layup, and then now he's in the NBA Finals, right, Hoop?
Right.
I mean, a guy like that, man, it was fun to watch him in college, especially when we went number one probably there for, I'd say, consecutive 2 or 3 weeks. Tell you what, we were a football school with Dobbs and Kamara. Then the next year, we weren't anything. And then those guys, senior year, all five of those guys, Kyle, Schofield, Grant, Pons. Hey, chill out, man. Chill out. Pons and J-Bone. Pons is still at Tennessee, but all those other guys are in the league now. So super cool to talk to Kyle. Hopefully we do it again. Kyle, you're on Man to Man, the best NBA show. You are listening to us. Thank you guys for tuning in, sticking with us. We're going to have just two more segments. We're going to do the man-to-man worthy or keep it moving. We always like to do that in our episodes. And then the Gab It Off, Hoop. We talking money or are we talking about losing money? You'll see. Yeah. Let's start us off, baby.
Yeah, let's get right into it with, I guess, the first one up on our docket today. We got the Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic just injuries, I guess. I'm going to leave it at that. Is that worthy for you? Are we talking about this one or what, man?
Yeah. We're talking about it. We're recording right now, Sunday, mid-afternoon. Game 3 hasn't quite started yet, but they are listed as doubtful again in Game 3. But just to kind of give you guys a little heads up, Adebayo suffered. It's a neck strain. It's not quite – I think it's shoulder, but more of a neck strain. Okay. And Dragic tore his – something in his left foot. I'm probably not going to say it right. You know how to say it?
I can't say that last.
They just made up the plantar fascia, maybe. I don't know. I tried to order a Starbucks Aki the other day, and they looked at me like I was an idiot. It's an Asia or something. I have no idea, okay? Give me the chai latte and let me go. But, yeah, it's devastating for these two guys being out. Adebayo and Dragic have played essential roles in the playoffs, averaging roughly 38 points combined, you know, as the Heat. Kind of go through this whole playoff contention and now in the NBA Finals in the 428 postseason minutes that Adebayo and Dragic have been on the court together. The Heat have outscored the opposing team by 55 points. In the 98 minutes they have been off together, the Heat have been outscored by 42 points. That's per the NBA. So just a quick stat right there to show how crucial those guys they need those guys on the floor.
Right. I agree. I think this was, you know, a big blow to the Miami Heat just because those are probably one or two, you know, essential players to kind of keep that whole team together, those puzzle pieces all together. And we saw it in game two, kind of they were lacking here and there. They made a run, I mean, in the fourth quarter to kind of help, I guess, the whole team, but obviously couldn't, you know, get over that hump and win the game. But yeah, I think for them to even come back a little bit and, you know, maybe win another game or a game in the series, they'll have to have these, at least one of them on the court. So like you said, it is crucial. crucial.
Definitely a do or die game. Game three, whenever you're down 2-0.
Oh, yeah.
And especially in the finals or like any series in the playoffs, it's almost impossible, right? The odds are against you, but this is a Miami Heat team that everyone has been counting out since day one, the get-go, right? So if there's one team to do it, maybe the Denver Nuggets, but obviously we didn't see them come through. It's the Miami Heat. So a big thing that Kyle was talking about, rebounding, we try to get a little bit more out of them, but it's mainly rebounding. That's what we've seen the past two games. They've been out-rebounded the past two games, offensive and defensively. I know you were talking about a possession where you saw AD get like five in a row or something like something crazy like that. I mean, just the more possessions they have, obviously there's a better chance of winning the game. So definitely crucial with without, you know, those two guys, Dragic being another vet, but just Adebayo showing that presence. Not quite sure who's really going to stick on AD the whole game, right? I mean, you have Myers Leonard in there who comes in. He hasn't been playing the whole series. And even hasn't been getting that much. Hey, when you chill out, I got three dogs right here getting much time before that. And then you got Kelly Olynyk. He thinks he's a fucking Brooke Lopez sharpshooter from 40 out. He'll hit one, do the little princess hair flip, and then, you know, it ain't looking good. You know, he thinks he's cocky, hot shit, but he's not. So I don't know. Maybe dress Kyle up, get him in the game, get him some PT, but definitely crucial without those two guys in the game.
For sure. Let's keep it right along. With, I guess, we got Dwight Howard. Pretty boy Dwight Howard. He said he's been having a little bit of depression throughout, you know, the beginning of the bubble leading up to the finals. Is this worthy? Or are we keeping it moving on this one?
All these guys, you know, we can't count them out. They are humans, right? You know, with DeMar DeRozan. They talk Kevin Love. Yes, these guys are just like us too. Shoot, when we lose bets, I go through a very deep depression. We're not going to talk about that, but keep it moving.
All right. Then next up, then we got Doc Rivers officially going to be the head coach of the 76ers. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, let's hit the brakes on this one real quick. Steve Ballmer, he's a nuthead, absolutely went fucking ballistic after the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead, and rightfully so, right? I get that. You're the owner, and Doc Rivers has been there for a while. I think they were saying how the analytic experts on the Clippers organization were telling Doc, or at least advising, not telling him, but advising Doc to play Zubac over Harrell. That he did not do. Which I wouldn't have done either. I mean, those are just numbers. We all know numbers are there. They're cool and all. But, like, once in game situations, you got to play the guy who was the sixth man of the year and get him on the floor and keep him on the floor, in my opinion. One of the other reasons that Doc was let go, I'm hearing, was due to Michael Porter Jr. and his great excellence in that series. Don't know really where this came from, but apparently Porter Jr. could have been drafted. I think Ballmer wanted Porter Jr. Drafted in the draft last year, as the, you know, they had the 12th and 13th pick. I think they picked up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jerome Robinson, two guys who are not a part of that Clippers organization anymore due to, I think, Jerome's. I don't know if he's in a G League or if he's somewhere else, but Gilgeous-Alexander was a part of that Paul George trade. But, like, you know, you're just talking about he could have been in, you know, he could have very well been in that trade with that Paul George trade. So I don't see Michael Porter Jr., even if he got drafted, would still be in the Clippers locker room right now, a part of that team. They didn't pick him up because of medical reasons, but yeah, he fucking cooked them. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. Now let's talk about Doc being the head coach for the 76ers now, right? We heard big, big names. Obviously, Philly goes big name hunting again, which is the strategy that got the last coach fired. The hope is the same as it has been for every other Philly move now. You know, you throw enough big names into the pot, no matter how well they mix. Close your eyes, rub your hands, and hope a championship stew gets cooked up. My question to you, Hoop, what can Rivers change about a team that really has no capacity to change? Rivers likes to run the pick and roll. Doesn't seem like they have any guys that can really do a pick and roll pop. What's Rivers going to bring into this organization? Anything at all?
I mean, I think this was the best, obviously, option for the 76ers. But, yeah, I'm just questioning about, obviously, the whole, you know, Embiid and Simmons. I know there's some rumors saying that Ben Simmons is already on the trading block, that Doc Rivers wants, you know, another point guard. I don't know. That's what really is, from my perspective. I think Doc Rivers is obviously a great coach. What will he actually bring to that team? My biggest thing is I think he'll bring change, and that's the biggest thing from top to bottom. And with that change, I think players are going to leave. We see that Tobias Harris is on a big contract. I wouldn't be surprised if they moved him to open up some space for another bigger player. I mean, there's a lot of things that are, I think, possibly going to happen for this 76ers team. But the one thing that's solidified for me in this move is Embiid is not going anywhere, because Doc Rivers likes having a big man, big presence on the floor. So I think that almost rules it out completely. I mean, Embiid is not moving from the 76ers. If anybody's going to be moved, it might be Ben Simmons or maybe like a Tobias Harris. But I mean, to answer your question, I don't really know what the change is going to be, but there are going to be big changes, I feel like, for this.
Well, it's a fresh start, and you know, organizations need a fresh start, even if they're absolutely terrible or if they're like the 76ers, who need that extra guy or that somebody else to get them going. He's unquestionably a great coach, and I wouldn't say he's as glued to his style as some of the other coaches. Fresh start is all I can really say about that. I'm just not sure what Rivers can change about the fact that nothing has quite changed in Philadelphia over the past couple of years. Besides, we see J.J. Redick kind of come out on his own podcast and say, well, they really effed up by getting me out of that organization. I think they needed another guy on the wing like J.J. But they need a true point guard. I think that's what they need. And I think that's what we'll see. Elton Brand likes Simmons and Embiid. He came out right after they lost the series and said, we're going to keep those guys. No question. No doubt about that.
Hey, chill the hell out, dude.
I got three dogs over here. But you could easily see like a Drew Holiday or maybe like a Vic. I don't know. Maybe like a point guard, like a Dragic or somebody of that type of caliber into that Sixers organization. So I think they're overrated, but we'll see. I think Doc's a little overrated as well, but I don't know. We'll see, right?
Yeah. Let's just keep it moving with Deion Waiters. We find out that he is going to get an NBA Finals ring no matter what. He started the season with the Miami Heat. You know, now with the Lakers, what do you think about this?
I don't agree with that rule at all, but he gets a ring, so keep it moving. But that may be something that I would, as Adam Silver, might look at again, because I don't know if that's totally fair. You're not with those guys in a locker room up until, you know, the NBA Finals. So, he got traded like early on in the season, right? So I don't quite agree with that, but yeah, keep it moving.
All right, next big topic. Our Pacers are in the news once again. We got Vic Oladipo with all these trade talks, trade rumors. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this? I know we've talked about a little bit here on Man to Man, but what do you have for this?
I don't know, dude. So Vic came out and he said he values the rings more than being the best player on the team. Okay. Was he the best player on the team this year? I don't think so. So don't really know what that statement meant. Obviously got a lot of love for Vic, got a lot of respect for Vic. I think when he is gone, wherever he gets traded to this offseason, hopefully he won't get the Paul George treatment. I think he gave us, you know, love. He's a genuine dude. Been hearing how he's, you know, the Hornets are interested in him. Celtics could be a big name, but they got Kemba Walker. I'm like, how do you guys keep getting more money for more all-stars? I don't understand. Maybe because you're a big market team. I don't really know how any of that works. It's just not fair. Or possibly the 76ers, like I just said. They could use a point guard. But would be kind of cool to see Vic the hell out of the East. You know what I'm saying? Like, Vic, you're all good. We don't need you. But I think a lot of teams in the East need that extra player, whether it's the Miami Heat, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's literally any other team from 1 to 16 in the East that could use a Victor Oladipo. Thought it would change. When Nate left and he got fired, I thought that would kind of change Victor's perspective on whether he would want to stay with the team or not. I thought, you know, once Nate's gone, maybe Vic will stay, but I guess once Nate's gone, Vic's gone too. So I don't really know their relationship. I know there was talk in upper management how we didn't quite treat Vic all with the most utmost respect. I don't think that's true. I don't believe to be that's true. I think Kevin Pritchard did a phenomenal job with holding Vic out for a year plus and also paying him millions of dollars. So I don't know. Vic's gone. He's gone. That's there's no rumors about that. I think he's totally gone. I think he's totally out of the Pacers lineup. The big question for the Pacers is we can't get rid of him for free, right? So who do we get him for? Do we just get money for him? Do we get cash considerations? Do we get another player? Do we get a first round? You know, we're not giving Vic up for free.
Right. I think that is the biggest question. I'm glad you brought that one up because for me, what is Vic's, potentially just what is his value around the league? He's coming off an injury. He didn't play great, I would say, in the bubble. You could tell that he was still getting back to his normal self. And I just don't think his value right now in the league is that high. So we, in return, if we would trade him right now, there wouldn't be too much that we would receive and, you know, back from him. I think maybe like a Celtics team, if they really are interested, could possibly, you know, throw in some picks and maybe another, you know, role player like a Marcus Smart or something like that. But if you're talking about just true value for a guy that's coming off an injury that hasn't really shown that he's back to, you know, his 100% self and the old Vic that we know, it's a scary position to be a fan and just to know, like in basketball, like the Pacers could take a big step back if Vic himself was traded, because I don't know any other big name player, or at least for right now, to fill that void of what, you know, Vic was to the Pacers, you know, before he did get hurt, because that's what I would think the Pacers would want to get in return, is kind of that value of old Vic, and not understanding that his value now is, you know,
I think his value depreciated a little bit after the injury.
Oh yeah, definitely. It definitely had to be, because
the teams will use that advantage with us.
Yeah.
But we can keep Vic cause he's restricted, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. I don't think we will, because it's just not the thing to do for us. And so I think we'll need to move on from Vic one way or another. So
that's interesting. So when a player nowadays says, hey, I don't want to play here anymore, it'd be awkward to keep him pretty much.
Well, yeah. If he truly comes out with a full statement and says, hey, I want to be traded, then the Pacers have no other choice than to actually, you know, pretty much agree and be like, okay, we'll, you know, shop you out to these other teams.
Right.
So
cool.
All right, we'll keep going. Last thing we got up on the docket, we got Buddy Hield.
What do we got? Come on, baby. Give me some energy there, baby.
Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is ghosting people nowadays. His coach, Luke Walton, you know, trying to stay in touch with him and whatnot. And so he's not communicating with his coach anymore.
We see that from other players too. Who was it that unfollowed the Bucks? Was it Giannis or some stupid shit like that? I think all that is photoshopped to begin with. But yeah, I don't know, dude. Luke Walton's kind of a creepster, anyways. You know, staying in LA, we see some side stories about him. I'd probably unfollow him and be like, don't text me in the off season. Like Buddy Hill just probably wants to chill. He's probably just chilling on his couch with his friends, with his girlfriend, whatever, like doesn't want his coach texting him about like any sort of off workout. We're still in COVID right now. Keep it moving. I don't know. Just Luke Walton, chill, dude. Let him decide. If you let him chill, it's like when I text a girl, you know, she's not texting back for a couple hours, maybe a couple years. I say, just let it ride, my guy.
We'll let it ride.
If they want to come back, they know how to reach you.
All right. I guess with that, that will do it for Man to Man Worthy or Keep It Moving. Thank you guys for staying with us. You guys are listening to Man, the very best NBA show out there, where we bring the latest topics around the NBA to you. I guess Before we go into our last segment, we got to shout out StattyCapper.com. StattyCapper is here to help simplify your quantitative analysis in the gambling world. StattyCapper can be, you know, for a whole range of people, if whether you're new to betting, trying to learn what a good bet is, or if you've been in the game a while. Me and Toysington, we use it every day to see where we can get an edge on all of our bets. But go check them out. That's StattyCapper.com and help build a community of people who enjoy sports betting and provide useful insights to help the community win. Yeah. I guess we'll go into our gambling. I mean, I'm be honest with you. I've had a good week. I'll start by saying this. I've been having a good week. In all my picks, I'm 10-4 in picks this week, but I have not won a single bet. I'm down $500 this week. It's been shaky, but I have to, you know, you have to pride yourself on something when you bet. And I mean, 10-4, if I took single bets, I'd probably be up, you know, obviously in the long run, but I'm a parlay guy. I know you're a parlay guy now.
Yeah. You got me into the parlays, I will say.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you're a risky bettor, so you got to make, you know, risky moves and putting in, you know, two or three bets in a parlay, but
yep.
I mean, I just can't get all three. I get two. I get two of the three. I get one of the two. And it's just, it's been hurting me this whole entire week. But what do you got? What, you got any bets on this week that you've like, you've hit a couple good ones this week. So
I've hit a couple. I've turned in, I think like I am slowly transitioning into the quote unquote D-gen phase. I'm looking at it right now. I had a parlay early on this week, 20 to win 150. I put it on the Chiefs, but then I also put it on Lakers money line and under that 217 first game. My God. Thank you, Miami Heat, for not scoring any points in the first game. Wasn't that? I mean, the Heat or the Lakers go up like 100 points in three quarters, and then the Heat are at like 68 at the fourth quarter. So, like, I think they hit 215. I know Quinn Cook, it's always those late shots too. Quinn Cook hits a three and they only need two more points to go over. I'm like, fuck, shoots it, miss it. So I got that one right. I tell you what, you got me on was the first team to score. That's very risky.
My new favorite bet, man. The first team to score. You won that one though. You picked the Lakers.
Well, you're always gonna pick the Lakers and they're always gonna be favorited. But it was kind of sketchy in game two where they get the tip. Also had KCP at like plus 1,000 to score first. I don't know. Maybe he hits the ball and then shoots a quick three. I have no idea. I know you called AD and you didn't bet on it, but you were right. But, you know, they get the tip. They miss the shot. Miami goes down. You're like, no, they missed the shot. So that's a fun little bet to gamble on. Probably do it again. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it, dude. I think the biggest bet that I have with this series, before the series started, I bet 50 to win like 200 plus Lakers in six. Okay. I think we all want every single year to see the finals go into a six or seven game, right?
All right.
The odds now are plus 1,000 over with that. They think Lakers are obviously going to win either a sweep or 4-1. I'm rooting for the Heat. I mean, we just had Kyle on, dude. I want the Heat to win a game. I want the Heat to make it a series just so it gives Adebayo and Dragic more time. I believe those guys will be back by game four. If they win game three, I don't know. Maybe one of the two guys in game four, but both guys in game five. That's just where I'm standing with that bet right now. But you know, I'm also a big like player props, like KCP over 1.5 threes. My God, you shoot 10 of them a game and you make like only one. He clutches one at the end of the end of game two with like a minute left, sweating my nuts off. I'm like, golly, okay, KCP, probably not doing that again. But yeah, just doing a bunch of parlays, whether it's baseball, football. Always try to get some Lakers in. I know you got a bet on the game tonight, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this would be, you know, I need this one to hit or I have a terrible week. But for game three, got Lakers money line, Lakers and the Heat over. I got the alternate spread at 208, got a real good number at, I think it was minus 220 at the time. And then Tyler Hero has not scored over 20 points in this series, and I got him under 18.5. That's, I mean, the parlay is plus 190. I think it's a good, safe, you know, bet for me to get back on the right side, you know, make sure I don't have a terrible, terrible week. But
yeah,
I think that's a good one if you're looking for a bet, you know, to make some money. But
okay, so if there's one bet you would advise, would it be that one?
I would take Tyler Hero under 18.5 for sure.
Say we're talking about game props.
Game props. I would take you mentioned this to me, but I think for this game three, I think Miami Heat comes out contributing in all aspects of the game. And I would take the points for the Heat. I think it's at 9.5 right now.
Yeah,
so I would
+9.5. Yeah.
I think it won't be a blowout like we see in game one and two, because the Heat are kind of up against that wall and the backs against the wall. So I think they'll make it close. They probably won't actually win this game. I don't see them winning this game, but they'll definitely make it close. And we saw in the fourth quarter in game two that they made that push and cut it to about 10. So I think not +9.5 is a really good bet for, you know, for the Heat. So I would take that one.
I like that one. We see Eric Spoelstra. We talk about it. We talked about it with Kyle a little bit. They can make adjustments on the fly. No telling what they did yesterday. I know Kyle was talking about, man, we did film twice yesterday. We were on the court for a couple hours, like pretty much all day. And that's not the Heat just going over everyday routines that they do. Eric Spoelstra is that kind of guy that's saying, okay, let me see what I got in my back pocket, probably pulling different things out of his pockets left and right. I got a hot take for you, Hoop.
All right, give it to me.
We saw it last game. My God, if J.R. Smith is getting minutes in the NBA Finals after a year plus of not playing in the NBA, can we please see a guy who's been on the team for 20 years in the Miami Heat organization get some minutes? The guy that hypes up the younger guys in the third quarter timeout. Can we not see that one guy on the court and just see what he does? The guy who's won 3 championships, the guy that LeBron said in the post-game interview, if I go to war with anybody, if you want to go to war with anybody, you want somebody in that circle, it's that guy. Put Udonis Haslem in the game. You put Myers Leonard in the game. You put Kelly Olynyk in the game. See what UD does. Why not? 2 or 3 minutes. Why not?
I like that. I think that's I think we might see that actually, you know, just coming off of what we saw in the third quarter and him, you know, boosting up. But I like that. I think at least, like you said, at least give him a chance. I mean, he's been there and done that, and he's a professional, so he can play 5 minutes in a game.
Like, I get he should be on the Ice Cube Big 3. I get that. But put him in the game, dude. Let him rough AD Pretty Boy up, which also I didn't understand the whole Shaq Kobe question from the reporter to LeBron. LeBron compares himself more to Shaq and then AD. That doesn't make any sense. LeBron, you are clearly more like Kobe. AD, you are just a hybrid of Kobe and Shaq mixed together. But get somebody in there who can rough AD up a little bit. AD is just doing what he wants to do. That last game, 30 plus, LeBron 30 plus. If you want a presence in the paint, you're missing out of bio. I say put Haslem in. Let him fuck you up in the eye a little bit.
All right. Well, with that last take, we will get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episode. Thanks again to Kyle Alexander for coming on with us this week. It was good to hear his insights. But with that, we will catch you next week, and we will keep you updated daily on our social media. That's at Man to Man Podcast on Instagram and at MTM NBA Show on Twitter. I mean, namaste to you guys. Namaste to you guys.
Namaste. We hitting bets all night. Share with your moms. Pace the nation, baby.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy. And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.